Hey everybody, welcome to a hard reboot bonus podcast.
I immediately apologize.
It's not about Final Fantasy or whatever Alan's humming, I promise. Actually, I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe it will be about what Alan was humming if it was a folk song. Because this is going to be our ongoing Patreon exclusive show. Except this first episode. Again, everyone's going to hear this one. Yep. But we're going to be. It's like our ongoing universes. Except we're going to be doing it monthly, and with the goal of creating a workable universe and story that we can write an actual novel about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now this leads into a question I have.
Okay.
And I think maybe I was misunderstanding the initial pitch. I don't think whatever the answer is, I'm unhappy with it. It's just I want a little bit of clarification. Now, sure. I know we're writing this in one shared universe. Like, all these songs will exist in the same place. Are we writing one novel together, or are we each writing a story about our chosen song?
We are writing one collective novel.
Okay.
But we will each have... I picture it Game of Thrones style, where, like, if it was Game of Thrones, like, I would have the Bran and... Danny chapters, and you know, you would have two other people, and et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay, so we're all working toward in the same world, probably all tying into the same plot eventually.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, cool. All right, that makes no doubt. A lot of sense. So today we're just doing the intro stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we can kind of figure out like base world building ideas and maybe a couple characters that we or characters or songs that we each want to either do ourselves or just kind of like I want this character to be in the story somehow and doesn't matter where they land, you know.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah.
All right,
so do you want me to start it off?
Yeah, tell us your first pick,
because this is my terrible idea that might end up as a good idea.
Let's give a little bit of we've looked at this exhaustive list that goes.
It's a big boy.
It is a big boy.
Which leads me to think that we will need to talk about some honorable mentions that will not appear anywhere. But Lord, we just got to talk about it because I've got at least two.
I mean, here's the thing. Some of those, they can end up in here and just not in the same way because we don't need to stick to the text, right? Like, we don't need to take like every literal song and just like transliterate it into a novel that makes it work. Like, we can take like the idea of one of these things,
yeah,
and then, like, make that a character or an element or something.
This is definitely going to be like inspired by kind of deal, yeah, instead of just strictly as it says in the song. So we've all chosen a few. I think that number is gonna change, and
yeah,
knowing us, we're going to have a little bit of crossover and things that sound interesting, but there also are like 5,000 of these son bitches, so...
I think that might be a little conservative.
Yeah, I don't...
They're numbered up to 19,000, but not every number is used, so...
Yeah, there's a lot of gaps, and I would have to do some in-depth research to figure out exactly what they're doing here, because Lord knows I don't understand it.
The longest I see is up to 29,549. That's the highest number before they get into V, which I don't get that.
It's
a lot.
It is a library organizing system, so it doesn't really have to make sense as long as it makes sense.
And some of them have other names, so it could be, so for example, one of the ones I'm doing,
well,
let me pull him up.
Let's just put it this way. There's a bunch of these, and they're all kind of categorized, and they're all somehow organized.
And like, the best part is, like, if you click on some of them, because some of them have Wikipedia entries that you can look at, they still don't have the lyrics or much of the content. Like, I'm looking at one that just looks good, and maybe that's all I have to go off of. And I'll have to do my own, you know, Google later. Episode 2, we'll figure out what we need to actually, like, research separately and bring back to the table. But this first one I feel like can be, you know, pretty chill.
Yeah, so let's, Jake, why don't you lead us off with your first choice?
Okay, my first choice, and this is my, like, my dib, so if you listen to, like, the Zero Pitch episode, you'll be familiar, and that is my best friend, Little Boy Blue.
All right. Tell us a little bit about Little Boy Blue and his horn.
So he's got a horn. He's got a real cool horn that can, you know, call the sheep and the cows and the whatnots back to town. I don't think I want to keep it at that. I think with him, I want it to be a, like, from small beginnings kind of story.
So we got an Orpheus is what you're telling me.
We got a little bit of an Orpheus. I don't know if it's necessarily music or if just, like, the horn is magic. I do have, like, another one that I found that I think could tie into. Because that the story that I found is, like, kind of gross and bad, which is, like, hey, surprise. There's some gross and bad stories in here. Because it's old folk songs. So,
yeah. Lots and lots of rape. Yeah.
Lots of it. Just I would say maybe an unnecessary amount. But I have one that it does kind of deal with that, but I think I could take it and spin it away from there. So I like the idea of Little Boy Blue being like this, you know, like his name is probably just Blue in this world, and he's just like a farm boy, and he has or stumbles upon this, you know, enchanted magic horn, and then, like, that's where his story starts, you know, is like that's kind of the impetus for his kind of deal.
All right. I like that. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going in order, Alan. What's your first?
So mine comes from a song called Tamlin. It is round number 35. Called Tamlin. And the idea is that Tamlin is a fey creature that protects Carter Hall, which is a forest. And anyone who enters Carter Hall must give him a procession or their virginity. That one's a little gross. We're dancing past that one.
Yeah.
So get a possession. It's the story of a woman who he seduces, and she gets pregnant with his child. She returns to Carter Hall and basically is like, I'm not going to carry your child because you are a wild shade. You're not a gentleman. You can't take care of me. You cannot take care of this child. You know, screw you. And Tamlin, even though he is kind of half fey, turns out he was a knight who was captured by the Queen of Fairies, who basically turned him into a fey. And he tells the girl's name is either Janet or Jane that, hey, I can come with you and be a gentleman and be your loving husband, but we have to do these things. I have to go through these transformations. And it ends with me turning into a hot coal. And if you can bear it, then we can be together and, you know, we can raise your child. And basically, it's all about how Janet/Jane defeats the queen of the fairies by being really wily and figuring out smart ways to deal with his transformations and hiding him under a green jacket to shield him from the queen. And the queen basically concedes defeat and is like, okay, mortal woman, you have beaten me. You have your Tamlin, but never cross my path again. So I actually don't think I want to focus on Tamlin. I want to focus on Jane.
Sure, yeah. She sounds like she's obviously the protagonist of that story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah.
I like it. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, so Matt? My first one, I seem to be taking this in a... I thought I was taking this in a bit of a different direction, but now I don't know. Because now I think the one I picked is the inciting incident for the story.
So that's fine. That works.
So mine is called Six Dukes Went a Fishing. And it's pretty basic. Six Dukes go fishing. Oh, they find the body of the dead Duke of Grantham. And the whole thing is how they, like, go and bury him, and his royal queen wife is all very sad about it.
Okay.
But here's what's in, so one, Dude is dead, washes up in the sea. No idea who killed him. Six dukes find him. Then there's this awesome line after they go on and on about how they take out his bowels and stretch out his feet to bury him. So six dukes stood before him. 12 raised him from the ground. 9 lords followed after him in their black mourning gown.
There's some imagery there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
you can get weird with that one.
Yeah. So I think we have here our high society. I don't know who any of these people are, but one of them is the Duke of Grantham, and he dead, and he had a wife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Duchess of Grantham, presumably.
The Royal Queen of Grantham.
How do...
Don't worry about it.
How...
Don't worry about it.
I don't know how English titles work.
It doesn't work that way. She would be a duchess. It doesn't work that way.
Sure. All right. So, yeah, fine.
Yeah, but there's like the lyrics are on the Wikipedia for it, and it is, I think every single word of it is amazing.
Yeah.
It's very good. So that's my first one, and I think that might have become our inciting incident. So maybe. Jake,
yeah.
You got another?
I'm looking through them. There's a couple that I just looked at the name and I was like, oh, that's an interesting name. Mm-hmm. And then I clicked on it and there's nothing.
Yeah.
So there's one called the Battle of Bothwell Bridge.
Interesting.
Which I picked because my favorite rapper, Astronautilus, his real name is Andy Bothwell. And so I was like, I know that word, so let me see what this one is.
It's nothing?
No, there's a whole page on it about the actual Battle of Bothwell Bridge. I don't know why there's a song or where, because it's not in the Wikipedia article, but I think maybe that there is a location called Bothwell Bridge somewhere in this world, and at some point
there's a battle.
There will be a battle upon it, and I will Google the lyrics before the next episode and find out what's up.
I like that a lot.
My next one is Willy of Winsbury, which is Roud 64. But Willy of Winsbury, the reason I like it is less about anything supernatural or like big, but it's about this lord who was captured by the King of Spain, and this guy named Willy of Winsbury lain with his daughter. And the daughter fell in love, and they like became a couple. When the king comes back from being imprisoned in Spain, he figures out that his daughter has had sex and is pregnant, and is like, "Well, who is it? Was it a lord? Was it, you know, who was it?" And he was like, "Well," she's like, "Well, it was Willy of Winsbury." And
it was
like,
Willy.
He was like, "Great, hang him, bring him to me, and we're gonna kill him." So Willy is brought before the king. And the king basically says, if I were a woman, as I am a man, in my bedchamber, you would be found. He was so beautiful. He could, like, the king was like, oh, yeah, I get why my daughter hooked up with you.
Okay,
I got you. But then he was like, okay, cool. So now make an honest woman of my daughter. I'm offering you her hand, and with that hand, I'm offering you to be my successor, to be the next lord. And Willy said, I'll take your daughter, but I won't take your land, because that land is hers and not mine. Puts her on a dappled mare and rides away. So I want there to be, like, this really nice, like, upstanding guy that was offered a kingdom and said, no, that belongs to my wife, not to me.
Who also happens like to be that. Hot as hell.
Oh, yeah. And he's like the most beautiful man in all of the kingdoms.
It's very interesting. Okay.
Nice.
So, okay. Both of my next two are more locations.
Okay. Before we move on, I do have this does bring up a world building question. Because in my head, my initial pitch was like, this is a new bespoke world where these fairy tales and folk songs take place in, right?
Yeah.
What do we do about ones that are explicitly tied to, let's say, the King of Spain? You know, do we just like make up a
different country?
a fake name for that? Okay, and then just kind of tie it in that way.
Yep, the Lord was taken captive by a king.
Because I also think that these all kind of are like a high fantasy kind of setting.
It feels like we're heading that way,
So even if it is like, even if there's like a more modern song, we just kind of like, you know, bring it backwards a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, no, I like that a lot.
So what you got, Matt?
Okay. I'm going to go with this one first. So my next two are both locations. This one is called Nottingham Town. I think it's supposed to be like Nottingham, maybe.
I was about to say that sounds very Nottingham-y.
Yeah.
So it's called Nottingham Town. And the song itself is actually kind of weird and a little strange. But the important one is the first stanza that's like, in this fair town, no one will look up, no one will look down to show me the way to the town. So I'm taking some liberties here.
Like it's a secret town?
Like it's a secret town, Alan. We got ourselves some secret mystery town here.
It's like one of my favorite things in Dragonlance that we haven't gotten to on the Fallen Gods yet. It's called, oh my God, what's it called?
It's secret. Weyworth Ruid?
The Tower of Weyworth, and I think it's Weyworth Wood. Because it's going to bother me. Yeah, Weyworth Forest. But the way it works is the forest moves, and the only way to find it is to not be looking for it.
Weird.
When you go to sleep,
you just gotta stumble onto it.
When you go to sleep, you wake up in the wood. Like the wood finds you, not the other way around. And that's where the only other Tower of High Sorcery that the heroes have not been to yet, that's where it is in Weyworth Ruid.
Okay.
The Forest of Weyworth.
Okay. Jake, do you have a third?
I do. I'm actually just checking to see if it's public domain, and I don't actually think it is. It's a folk song, and it's on the list, but I don't know if it is. I'm gonna skip this one then.
Okay.
I will dig into that.
I have another one if you want to give some time.
Let me just. Let me find it real quick.
Okay.
You want me to go ahead?
Yeah, just go real quick and sure. I will find. Oh, I found it. Hold, you just go ahead anyway. I got to like do a little brush up.
So the next one that I want to talk about, and this is my last serious one. There's one that I talked a little bit to Matt about it before we started recording, and I'm not even sure how much of it I can read on air, but Lord, we need to talk about it.
Nope.
But this one is called Riddles Wisely Expounded.
Interesting.
Okay.
It sounds
scandalous.
It is Roud 161, and it follows. It's actually really contentious as to what it's about. It is either about the devil or a knight, but either way, they're trying to seduce a woman or trying to take her. So, like, the devil's trying to take her soul, or the knight is trying to rape her, or the knight is wanting to marry her, but can only marry her if she answers these riddles wisely expounded. And so basically they ask these riddles. So it's, what is greener than the grass and what is smoother than the glass, louder than a horn, sharper than a thorn, deeper than the sea, longer than the way? And she perfectly answers all of the riddles. So the endings vary. Either she defeats the devil, the literal Christian devil.
Sure.
Or she is the youngest of four daughters and she gets married before all of her older sisters because they didn't know the answers to the riddles. So the sisters like help get her ready to be married and she marries this great noble knight.
Okay.
So I like the idea that riddles can confound the devil. And I like that this also can play into the fae, like we were talking about with Tamlin and with the Queen of the Fairies, that riddles and knowledge and trickery is one of the ways, like, that's how you defeat the fae.
I like that as, like, a currency.
Yeah.
Like wits are a currency that can get you out of trouble.
Yep.
I like that.
And the answers, by the way, envy, flattery, rumor, slander, regret, and love.
Oh, I would have never guessed that.
All right, Jake, what is yours?
So this one is a folk song that I really like. It was used in Buffy the Vampire Slayer in season 7 as the trigger to make Spike go evil. It's called Early One Morning. It is route number V9617.
Way down the list.
It's 12682 on the list. I don't know what this weird V number is. I have no idea how this list works, it's baffling, if we're being completely honest. Look, Steve Rao did a lot of good work. He put a lot of cool folk songs in a lot of orders. I don't know what that order is. I don't know if he does, but they're all numbered, so good on him. The chorus is as follows. The first verse in the chorus are, early one morning, just as the sun was rising, I heard a young maid sing in the valley down below. And the chorus is, oh, don't deceive me. Oh, never leave me. Oh, how could you use a poor maiden so? So I like the idea of there, like, I don't know who this maiden is. And I actually kind of have an idea because there are two other folk songs. One's called The Elfin Knight and one is called Lady Isabel.
Yeah, I read The Elfin Knight.
Yeah, well, they're the same, it turns out, both of them. Yeah, so remember that thing we said about how, like, there's way too much rape in all these old folk songs? There's the Elf Knight is basically about this, but I like the idea of kind of linking the two. The thing that I like about the Elf Knight, he's an elf. He's of the fae folk. He's a knight. He has a magic horn. So maybe this is how Boy Blue gets the horn, or the horn comes from there, or maybe Boy Blue is like his son with this woman who, instead of, like, you know, raping and doing all this horrible stuff too, like, just basically tricked her into thinking he was, like, not an elf, and then, like
he came to her as a mortal, he Zeus'd her,
and then seduced her, and she was like, this is dope, and oh hey, I think I'm pregnant, and he's like, I'm an elf and I'm gone now. Also, or maybe he dies from something, and in some way he leaves
the picture.
Magic horn, and then that's where Boy Blue gets the horn.
Okay. I love that because of what it does to my next one.
Okay.
Although I'm curious about something before we leave, because I think this will shape. Part of this folk song is, remember the vows that you made to your Mary, remember the bower where you vowed to be true. That could be taken one of two ways. Either that's a marriage or she's a nun. Like, how, because a part of me, when I think of a lot of these folktales, and this is the reason why I bring it up, is I think Avalon, I think Aetherian, and I think nunneries and, like, monasteries and places of very organized and mandated religion. Do you get what I'm saying?
Sure. I don't really get that. I always go to the Aetherian. Like, I always go to that side. I never really pick up on the more religious stuff. But maybe there was a marriage. But then, you know, the trick was that, like, I'm not allowed to do this. I'm a knight.
Right. And I'm
so
a fae.
Maybe the queen of the fairies found out.
You made a human vow. I didn't make an elven vow.
Yeah, and so, like, by,
well, it could also have some other connotations that he's remembering the vows he made to the queen of the fairy.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Well, right, but I guess what I'm asking is, do we want to pay attention? Because I feel like with the folk songs, a lot of these are going to be religiously referential.
Sure, yeah.
So
if we
what
make
kind
her,
of attention do we want to pay
that? Fell by the wayside, that's a little scary.
Well, no. I'm not saying in this particular case. I'm just saying that reading that made me ask the question, are there established, organized, hierarchical religions in this world that could produce things like nuns and priests and monasteries?
Yeah.
I think absolutely yes. I don't think it will be like the Church of Latter-day Saints,
right,
or anything.
Yeah, it's not
going to
be,
like,
Christian,
you know,
but sure.
Yeah,
right.
But also,
the reason
I ask
is because so many of these do deal with that kind of overtone, not even undertone, but overtone. But yeah. I think we can obviously manipulate them to fit whatever kind of, you know, astrological cosmological, whatever we want it to be. But knowing that we have that in place, I think, is a good step moving forward so that we know we can reference that kind of stuff. That there will be a cosmology once we think about it.
Right, yeah. And I'm sure that'll come up in the, you know, in
down the line
songs as they go. But I like the idea now that maybe she was a nun of whatever. If we divorce it from real religions, we can do kind of whatever we want with it, you know? So I like the idea that maybe she was a nun who, like, was maybe not there, like, entirely of her choice, but then fell in love with this elf knight and so, like, broke her vows that she made to the nunnery or, you know, whomever in order to make
new vows
to him. But then because he's an elf, he's like, oh, we have way different rules and I got caught and I will fade into the glen and never see you again. And then, like, so that's where the how could you use a poor maiden? So, like,
and to me, that also it's very evocative of imagery of her sitting like in a bower in a church or in like a monastery singing at a window to the moon. You know, like she returned to the nunnery once he left because she knew nothing else. And so she took her child with her.
Well, I think that maybe she. Oh, yeah, no, that might be a good idea. The child is obviously blue.
Right.
Because, like, the horn.
It's all there.
I love the connection. Yeah, it's all there. So, like, I like maybe that, like, she goes back and it's like, well, I don't know if we should let you back, but, like, also maybe we're not, like, a terrible organization.
Right, but you were tricked by the Fae, and we understand that that's a thing, and come and, you know, take up your vows. Well, not maybe even take up your vows again, but live with us, commune with us, be our family. And like, and then, Blue, like, has a huge family.
Yeah. And so Blue's just like raised by like 30 nuns who are just like, I picture
just
that
dotes
nuns
on him
the,
super, like, super much.
Yeah. Like not in the, like the hit your knuckles with rulers nuns, but just like, you know, in this like, you know, all female monastery kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like that. So, Matt, you got another one?
Okay, so this one, originally, I was going to try to tie it back in and maybe, like, add some detail to that one. We might still can. I don't know. We'll see where it goes. Okay. It's called The Great Silky of Solskjaer. Or, to put it...
Silky?
Well, I'm going to... Let me translate that into less Shetland Islands Orkney accent. The Great Silky.
Silky of Solskjaer.
Sister Silky. Yay!
So, basically what happens is there's a woman who is nursing her baby child, and she's singing about how she has no idea who the dad is, and she's very upset by this. And then a dude pops out of the water and goes, oh, hey, that's me. I'm the dad. And I'm going to take the baby, and I'm going to turn into a seal and take him away. And then it turns out the lady is fated to marry the gunner on a ship who's going to go harpoon the dad and the child later. So that part we might have to throw away, but
I think we can change that part. I don't know if we can tie that back into Blue, but I definitely think that, like, that's another character that we could play with.
We might,
like,
not know who that is yet, but I think that I know who that is yet. We just have to wait for my next turn.
And he could be he could be part of the Fae court that, like, Selkies fall into that. By this definition of Selkie, it is less the whole leave my skin and more the on land I am a man, in the water I'm a seal.
That's much more what it is, but, you know, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
All right, so that was my third. Jake, you got another?
I have one more.
I also have one more and then a location that I think we can play with.
Okay. I've already dropped a location because I thought there was going to be more to it, but there was not. But so this is one that I just clicked on because, like, I was just looking through the names and I was like, that sounds interesting. And so this one obviously won't have anything to do with the actual text of the lyrics. I mean, it might, but it will stray. Okay. So it's called Oranges and Lemons, and it's a nursery rhyme slash folk song slash singing game that refers to the bells of several churches all within or close to the city of London.
Okay.
So it's just like this little, like, it's basically like, you know, a hopscotch song, I think, you know, kind of thing. So the lyrics are oranges and lemons, say the bells of St. Clement's. You owe me 5 farthings, say the bells of St. Martin's. When will you pay me? Say the bell bells of Old Bailey. When I grow rich, say the bells at Shoreditch. I hope that's how you say that. When will that be? Say the bells of St. Stepney. Of Stepney. I do not know, says the great bell at Bow. And then this last line gets a little weird. Here comes a candle to light you to bed, and here comes a chopper to chop off your head. Chip, chop, chip, chop, the last man is dead. Well, that took a weird turn at the end, I think.
Now we have a serial killer.
Wow.
But now, well, I don't necessarily know if it's a serial killer, but my first thought is, like, there is an order of people called, like, the, how many is this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, the six bells.
Okay.
And so, or maybe there are six bells that tie into something else that someone needs to ring. I guess this is a story element more than a character or a place.
I mean, no, I like that a lot. That's very good. I wonder, this is just a wild pitch. Is this the group that the six dukes become?
Oh, maybe.
Like, do they, like, go all Sherlock Holmes on this and become, like, some secret organization?
They are the Illuminati, confirmed.
I feel like it can maybe tie in, because, like, there's definitely, like, six of each. But I also like the idea that maybe there are six bells in however many locations that are, like, hidden.
Oh, that's interesting.
And, like, and you need to ring this bell, these six bells, in order to do a thing or to summon up
magic.
A thing. Or yeah, it's some magic task that a character will have to do for some reason in order to get their head not chopped off, I guess.
I do think we also do need to include the chopper in this, because if we can have, like, a Spring Hill Jack character, that's just... Mwah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe... So my first thought about that is that it wouldn't be necessarily a Spring Hill Jack. It would be, but it would be, like, very personal. It'd be, like, kind of like It Follows, where it, like...
Okay.
It's on you now. Like, so if you don't ring these six bells, the head chopper's going to chop your head off.
So once the quest starts, you finish it or,
like,
die.
There's only two ways it can end. You finish it, or I guess three ways. You finish it, you get your head chopped off, or you keep running until
you pass it to someone
can't
else.
Run anymore. Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's a way to pass it. Well, maybe there is a way to pass it, and that's how this person got it. And they're like, I can't give this to somebody else. I need to do this, and I need to ring these six bells. And I go, oh, well, they're all over the fucking world, and we don't know where three of them are.
Yeah, no, I like this a lot. That's very good.
That is Route Index number 13190.
Oh, that's
for those playing the home game.
That's really good. Alan, do you have another one?
I do.
This one, isn't it?
Nope. Okay. I've got one more until that one.
Ooh. Oh, there's this one? I feel like I was only, like, 6 minutes late today. How much did you guys talk
about that one early?
So this is Route number 90, Geordie. And the reason I love it is I'm sorry, Alan.
Is it called Geordie or is it number 90 Geordie?
Number 90 Geordie.
Because you said it like it's 92, 93, 94, 90 Geordie, 95. Like, you said it like that. So, okay. Call it Geordie.
So, essentially,
gotcha.
It is about a guy named Geordie who's going to be hanged in a golden chain. This is not the chain of many.
Love it.
He was born out of a king's royal breed and lost to a virtuous lady. So his lady says, go bridle me my milk-white steed, go bridle me my pony, I will ride to London's court to plead for the life of my Geordie. She basically becomes a lawyer to save her husband. In the song, she fails. Because it's ah, my Geordie never stole it, nor cow nor calf. He never herded any, stole 16 of the king's royal deer, and he sold them in Bohinny. Two pretty babies have I born. The third lies in my body. I'd freely part with them, every one, if you'd spare the life of my Geordie. The judge looked over his left shoulder. He said, fair maid, I'm sorry. He said, fair maid, you must be gone, for I cannot pardon Geordie. I, my Geordie, will be hanged in a golden chain. This is not the chain of many. Stole 16 of the king's royal deer and sold them in Bohinny. in our version, I want to say she succeeds and she saves the life of her husband, but then also like is the first person to practice like defense law.
Okay.
Like, I know it's a random detail, but I love it.
I like it. I don't know how this is an ongoing, like how there are chapters in this story.
So much that, but I want her to be a character that shows up elsewhere.
Okay.
So like if there's ever, you know, trouble at a court, she appears and is like, well, I'm here to help. Who are you? You know, that kind of thing. Like, this is not normal that you are going to argue the judge for me. Normally I do that, but.
Right. I like that. I am way more drawn.
Also like the hanging with the golden chain.
Hey, this woman becomes a medieval lawyer is dope. I am so like, why is it a golden chain? Mm-hmm. Like that's where I immediately jump to is like, what's up with that?
And it says he was born of a king's royal breed and lost to a virtuous lady. So it sounds like he was the child of royalty.
And he just like fell in love with
a common woman.
Common woman, yeah. Who's now a lawyer.
Who's now a lawyer, and he was hung with a golden chain. So like punishment is different for royalty.
Is it
almost a luxurious death?
Right. Is it better if she doesn't save him and then is like, well, this is not going to happen again?
I like that too.
Like, I feel like that is more of a reason to continue doing it, or because like if she did it just a once and one, you know,
right?
I don't think there's much of an origin there. I mean, maybe we can figure out a way to save him and have
the other problem is she doesn't have a name. The only name mentioned is Jordy.
Well,
so we'd have to obviously we need to give her a name, but that's for later, I think.
Right. Yeah, for sure.
Hmm.
All right, Matt, what's your last one?
Okay.
And then we'll get to the bad one.
So.
Oh, you got a bad one?
So the one I have, I think it needs to directly, in our world, it needs to directly tie into the great Selkie of Solskjaer. And I think it's their kid.
Who gets taken?
I think he's going to maybe be like a mentor figure in our world, kind of the old wise man kind of deal. Maybe. Jake, you might actually be familiar with this person because it's a New England myth or New England folk song.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Alfred Bulltop Stormalong.
I am very, very vaguely.
Let me tell you about my boy Stormalong, because he might now be my favorite American folk hero of all time. And okay. I grew up with Pecos Bill as a good Texas boy, so you have to work hard.
Sure.
Stormalong is the subject of numerous nautical-themed tall tales originating in Massachusetts. He's said to be a sailor and a giant some 30 feet tall. He was the master of a huge clipper ship known as the Courser, purportedly so tall that it had hinged masts to avoid catching on the moon. He had a lifelong feud with the Kraken from Norse mythology.
I love this guy.
I've definitely heard this before, but I was in elementary school.
He washed ashore in New England as a baby. He was already 3 fathoms tall or 18 feet tall as a baby. He either died in a transatlantic race that he won by several miles against a steamboat, or he retired to the Caribbean and decided to just stop hurricanes forever from hitting Florida.
Well, he's done a shit job of that lately.
He's very old. He died a long time ago, Alan. All right, show some
respect. And also, he was trying to stop hurricanes from hitting Florida. Not Alabama or Louisiana.
No, he's done a real bad job of hitting Florida, too.
Yeah, whatever. They still have Disney World. They're
fine.
Look,
he died a long time ago.
So, Stormalong, I want Stormalong to be, like, the old, like, the mentor figure who's just, like, bigger than normal.
I love his name, Stormalong.
Right? And he's just, like, he has folk songs about him, like, a cycle of sea shanties, so he counts. But, like, yeah. I want him to be the son of this Selkie who's just like, yeah, I'm a giant. What of it? I have a gigantic ship that you have to have a stable of Arabian horses to ride from one end to the other.
I love that. I have one okay. more before Alan gets to his that was sort of the impetus of this idea.
All right.
And you got anything else for Big Boy Storm?
Not right now. I see him being the mentor to our hero characters. Like somehow okay. they either like contract his ship or something, like something in there. He mentors them because he's like, I'm also a fey kid.
Right. Yeah. Dope. So my last one is called Aiken Drum.
Okay, good.
Have either of you heard Aiken Drum?
It sounds familiar.
I am familiar with it.
So
what's the
number? This is what the number is 2571.
Scrolling down.
This was on a recent I edited a podcast called Sailor Business. You both know that. Anyone listening, I don't know if you do. And on a recent episode, Allison Stock was guesting on, and they were talking about it was the Princess Kaguya mm-hmm. Story. So like she came from the moon, and then so Allison started singing Aiken Drum, and then that I was like, what is that? And I looked into it, and that's where I found out about the Roud Folk Index, and like that's what kind of spurred this whole thing on. The lyrics are very dumb.
It's so stupid. I love it.
The lyrics are stupid as shit. There was a man lived in the moon. There was a man lived in the moon, and his name was Aiken Drum. It just keeps going like that, but it's he played upon a ladle. His hat was made of good cream cheese.
Aiken Drum. Yeah. I know this song.
His coat was made of good roast beef.
Good roast beef.
Yeah. His britches made of haggis bags. That's a great sentence. His name was Aiken Drum.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to do with Aiken Drum. I want to make Aiken Drum sort of like a... I feel like if you sang this in a minor key, like, and his name was Aiken Drum, yeah, would be so fucking spooky, right? Maybe not the whole, like, his hat is cheese, is cream cheese, but, like, just the candor, like, cadence mm-hmm. of the rhyme is like, I think it lends itself to being real spooky. So I kind of want Aiken
His
Drum
coat
to be
was
like
made of the freshest meat. His coat was made of the freshest meat, and his name was Aiken Drum.
Yeah, like
did you
like,
read the lyrics a little further down, like the original
the old
rhyme?
Ones?
Mm-hmm.
Know ye how a Whig can fight, Aiken Drum, Aiken Drum. Know ye how a Whig can fight. Oh, so, this is good.
He can fight the hero bright with his heels and armor tight and the wind of heavenly night.
Aiken Drum, Aiken Drum.
I feel like Aiken Drum is a god slash boogeyman who lives on the moon.
Baba Yaga.
He is Baba Yaga, but no. His name was Aiken Drum.
That's so good.
I like that.
Yeah. So like, I feel like he is sort of this like way down the line end game boss, and maybe he's not necessarily evil, but like he has like a set of rules or a code that like
is this the real name of the
alien
chopper?
Ooh,
interesting.
Like they're originally like portrayed as two different people, but they're the same guy because he's like a dark god. He can do that shit.
Yeah, I'd have to read this whole like second one because it's much spookier.
It is. Well,
I don't know what a Whig is. I'm assuming that's a person from Whig.
It's the Whigs versus the Jacobites. Yeah, it's a rebellion thing.
Okay.
But we can also just like what Alan did, adapt it and make up our own lyrics because
yeah,
that cadence, like you said, that cadence is spooky as hell.
It's so spooky, but like, and they both are like, I don't know how mm-hmm. both versions got to be super spooky, but maybe I'd have to like look through it to see if he's like the chopper or not. Or maybe like the chopper is like an aspect of Aiken Drum.
God, yeah. That's so good.
I also think it should be one word. Aiken Drum. Like
the way it's portrayed in the second one.
Yeah. The way it's in the second one is spooky as shit. Yeah. I also have like a new verse for Boy Blue that I'm working on, that I think would be a good way to change it to make him more of a hero character than like a sleepy lazy boy.
Well, if Usagi has taught us anything, sleepy lazy people can be heroes.
Yes, but I mean, literally the last line of the Little Boy Blue song is like, don't wake him up or he'll cry. And I don't think maybe that's not the best hero.
In the first episode of Sailor Moon, she uses her ability to cry very loud to defeat the villain.
Mm-hmm. And that does suck, I think, it's a little bit. It's not great. But I'm going to spruce that up a little bit. Something about wolves at the gate. I don't know. I feel like...
I think there's a lot here. Yeah.
There's a lot here, yeah. But then I love just like the idea of like Aiken Drum being like this like night god boogeyman. Yes. That will just come for you if you break this weird set of rules. So, Alan, what's the bad one you got?
Okay, so the bad one. It is called The Crabfish. I'm just going to do a dramatic reading. Okay. There is a refrain at the end of every verse that I'm going to skip, and it is, by the wayside, hi diddly I do. Fisherman, fisherman, standing by the sea, have you got a crayfish that you can sell to me? Yes, sir, that indeed I do. I have got a crayfish that I can sell to you. Well, I took the crayfish home, and though he'd like a swim, so I filled up the chamber pot and threw the bugger in. In the middle of the night, I thought I'd have a fit when my old lady got up to have a shit. Husband, husband, she cried out to me, the devil's in the chamber pot, and he's got hold of me. Children, children, bring the looking glass. Come and see the crayfish that bit your mother's arse. Children, children, did you hear the grunt? Come and see the crayfish that bit your mother's cunt. No. It's the ending of me story. I don't have any more. I have an apple in me pocket, and you can have the core.
Alan, when was this written?
1620.
For real?
For real.
This is an old... This is like the second song by the guy who made the There Was a Man from Nantucket.
Yep. the other variants are called Old She Crab, The Crayfish, A Combat Between an Alewife and a Sea Crab, The Fishy Crab, and The Lobster.
I hate this song so much.
I don't like it. Alan, you don't intend to use this.
No, I just had to inflict this horror upon you in the way that it was inflicted upon me.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, well, thanks. Thanks for that, I guess.
You're welcome.
It has a similar cadence to Baba Black Sheep, which I think we can also probably figure out something to do with at some point. So, yeah, those are just some characters and ideas. Brainstorm one for the ongoing folk song.
I like it. All right. I guess, do we need to do anything else? Or are we good with that?
I think we're good. If you like this, if you want to get on the ground floor, join up on Patreon. We'll probably have a patron-only channel in the Discord for this.
We will, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. So if you want to get in on that, pitch some ideas, you know,
yeah, check it out.
Talk about it, whatever. Hit us up there. And you can also go. We have a Discord.
We do.
That's on.
You don't have to be a Patreon to do that. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. You get, there are some patron only
areas,
channels and perks for it, but you, anyone can join up. The link to that is on our Twitter, which is at Hard Reboot.
It is. Yeah. At Rebootcast on
or
Twitter.
At Rebootcast. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a fun time. This is going to be available to every patron. $1 a month or on up, you get access to this.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We've got some fun stretch goals there. Not stretch goals, that's Kickstarter. We got some fun milestones that we're all looking forward to. So
yeah,
give it a look if you're interested. I guess we're going to figure out what sort of schedule we're going to be recording these on. But until next time, I've been Matt.
I've been Jake.
And I've been Alan.
Don't you dare say it. Don't you poison this well, Alan. Don't you dare.
You've been rebooted.
Rebooted.
Monsters.
Hey, everybody. You can follow us at Rebootcast on Twitter, or you can email us at hardreboot@fifthdraw.com. You can follow Alan at Alan_Sells. You can follow Jake at JJ_Mason. Or you can follow me at Matt Hoadley. Thanks for listening. Hard Reboot is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-Alike 4.0 International License. For more information, please visit creativecommons.org.